This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And you know, you can listen to The Takeaway anytime by subscribing to our podcast. You can find that on our website, thetakeaway.org, or on iTunes. Lawmakers explaining health care reform. Sometimes it seems like you're in a hospital waiting room, you know?
We got 5 years stuck on
my. When a young man was courting a young woman, and they were driving down the road, and they'd hit a bump in the road, and she'd fall toward him, he'd say, "Thank you, ma'am."
Speed bumps? Thank you, ma'am? So that's the holdup, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, a discussion of ancient dating practices?
So a bump in the road became equated with "thank you, ma'am." So we have a few "thank you, ma'ams" going on around here when we're dealing with a bill of this size.
I'm down, thank you, ma'am.
Oh, thank you for that, Madam Speaker. Suffragettes, that we get on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Wham, bam, thank you. It's Friday, July 31st. I'm John Hockenberry. Amy Holmes, Madam Amy Holmes, is with us all week. Former Senate speechwriter, political analyst. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Top of the morning to you. On the show today, Washington's beer diplomacy and healthcare brouhahas, and all eyes are on the economy. We'll look into the magic GDP 8-ball. Yes, no, more information. And then funny women and funny people. It's Movie Friday on The Takeaway. But first, we bring in Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Todd, lots of news on healthcare this week. We just heard that awkward Pelosi falling down on the speed bumps for the president. Was that just a convoluted way of saying that they missed his deadline?
Good morning, Amy. Well, probably. First, it was the speaker's, the president's deadline, and then it was Congress's deadline. Harry Reid went so far as yesterday to say the press made up the deadline, so who cares if they meet it? But the job now is for members to go home in August and convince voters that they're doing the right thing, either by opposing this big government takeover or by passing a bill that's going to take insurance companies out of your way once and for all. Depends on what side you're on.
They'll be working hard this summer. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thank you. Stay with us. We'll continue the conversation with you in just a few moments.
Yeah, that's going to work. First, to everything you need to know in the news and the headlines, the government's billion-dollar Cash for Clunkers program was so popular, it's now broke. The Transportation Department told auto dealers last night to stop offering rebates for folks who trade in their old ride for one that's more efficient. The White House says it's assessing the situation, I'll bet. A big indicator of how the U.S. economy is doing is coming out this morning. The president says he expects the latest GDP report to show the economy shrank in the second quarter, but that the U.S. Essentially is on the mend. Amy?
There's a lot of love in Washington today, if you can believe it. White House senior advisor David Axelrod is set to hold a healthcare strategy pep talk with House Dems ahead of their August break. And it's a weekend of bonding activities, more of that love theme, for White House cabinet members. They'll spend the better part of the weekend at the Blair House talking about the latest presidential approval polls. Not so good. And one can only guess, playing trust falls?
Ew. Way too kumbaya for me. Space Shuttle Endeavour is scheduled to land back on Earth this morning. Endeavour is scheduled to touch down at the Kennedy Space Center after a 16-day flight. Markets were up about 1% yesterday. The Dow opens at 91.54. The S&P starts trading at 9.87. The NASDAQ at 1984. Congress going on recess. What should they do? Listen to constituents, take a break, or go to Siberia? You tell us. 877-8-MY-TAKE or my take at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. Happy Friday. Here with Amy Holmes, who's joined me all week. And I have to say, you know, we begin in Washington, as we almost do, but that had to be the most excruciatingly awkward and unspontaneous beers that were ever drunk on the face of planet Earth last night at the White House.
So were you shocked to see the president and vice president in their shirt sleeves?
There must have been so many committees on so many levels doing all of the details there. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just cynical. But you do have to ask the question, was it... health reform this week with a beer chaser or beer with a health reform chaser. Here's Sergeant James Crowley at the beer summit last night.
What you had today was two gentlemen agree to disagree on a particular issue. I don't think that we spent too much time dwelling on the past. We spent a lot of time discussing the future.
Which might have been a theme for lawmakers actually dealing with something in Washington like health care reform. Todd Zwillick staying with us, of course, the Takeaways Washington correspondent down in Washington, D.C. Also, Callie Crossley, media critic for Beat the Press on our partner WGBH up in Boston. Callie, good morning.
Good morning.
Todd Zwillick, let me put it to you. Was it beer with a health reform chaser this week or health reform with a beer chaser?
Oh, I'd like to think it was health reform with a beer chaser.
Let's talk about health reform then. They are disagreeing. I don't know if they're agreeing to disagree, but where does it stand on this Friday as we get into the recess?
Well, Henry Waxman's Energy and Commerce Committee went late into the night last night. He finally got his markup. That was one of the speed bumps that the speaker was talking about in that opening that you used, John. And then they head into the August recess, and the August recess is all about message. You know, they wanted to vote on this before they left. That didn't happen. Now you've got a month of members hanging out there in one of three positions, either defend the Democratic sort of Obama plan for healthcare as hard as they can, try to get people over on their side. Don't forget, the president's numbers are slipping on this. Democrats think they have a big education sale job to do. If you don't know how you're going to vote, you got to listen hard to your constituents and try to come up with a justification for voting either yay or nay. Or if you're a Republican, oppose it, call it big government takeover, go after it, and call it socialism. That's the strategy.
Well, Todd, I mean, I have to say that of all the, you know, blue dog Democrat arguments for delaying here, this is the one that really does hold some credence for me. Go home, listen to your constituents. But there was a premise set up last night, both by Nancy Pelosi and by House Minority Leader John Boehner, that I wonder if we could explore for a moment. First, let's hear what John Boehner believes about how this constituent discussion is going to go over the next couple of weeks.
And now on the way to out of town for the August break, they're cutting deals on a government takeover of health care that will raise costs, drive up the deficits, and destroy jobs in America. On health care, it's pretty clear that the more Americans hear about the president's health care plan, the less that they like it.
Okay, Takeaway listeners, did you get that? The more Americans hear about the health care plan, the less they like it. Now, here's Nancy Pelosi, okay, stating a slightly different theory about how the constituents are going to respond.
The more the public knows about what we're doing, the more they support it. And especially if you're talking about a public option, because that's where the insurance companies are making their attack.
I'm confused, Todd. Which is it?
And that's exactly the dichotomy that's going to be going on during August. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats unveiled their message strategy for August, and they were pretty clear about it. It says it has two things. You know, John, I want to point out real quick, when members leave for August, they actually get marching orders. It's on a card, and it's called a flyaway card. You fly away from Washington, here's what the leadership wants you to say about this bill while you're at home. It says a whole bunch of things. It really lays out what this bill means to you if you have insurance, which is what you heard the president talking about this week. It'll lower your costs. They can't rescind you. They can't raise your premiums. They can't deny you for pre-existing conditions. You know, all that stuff.
But Todd, I have a question about that. We've been hearing this week, we heard from Congressman Weiner yesterday, that there's real dissent in Democratic ranks. We know that on the Republican side, there's unanimity. They're going to go after this, you know, as hard as they can. But when Democrats go home, what do the progressives say to their constituents?
They say exactly what Nancy Pelosi said yesterday. She sharpened her message, Amy. She really sharpened it against insurance companies. She is taking a populist tack. She's got a boogeyman, and it's the insurance companies. They're standing between you and your doctor.
Villains.
No doubt about it.
It's
been effective in the past, exactly where they're going this August.
Well, Todd, thanks so much. Takeaways Washington correspondent in Washington, D.C. Callie Crossley, media critic for Beat the Press on our partner WGBH in Boston. How did the media do at covering this beer summit yesterday, which I'm scratching my head?
I say it's not your grandmother's kumbaya. That's how the media did.
Nice.
They just were trying to figure out some place to land, and they got nothing, really. I think the big symbolism is they were kept back so far that they couldn't hear. They got a beautifully poised statement from Sergeant Crowley at the end with no understanding of what Professor Gates really thinks. I mean, he made some brief statements and a promise that there's more to come. It's not over yet.
You're a media critic. This is Amy here. Do you think that the media overplayed this whole beer summit issue? I mean, healthcare is a sixth of the economy, the size of France. You know, arguably, that's the much bigger story.
It is the much bigger story, but people are not paying attention to it. I think Todd was quite clear about that, and they're confused about it. One thing that people were not confused about, if you listen to talk radio and if you read the comments about all of the stories that have been done, people have lined up on sides, and they're, as I see it, the summit actually was moving in the direction of hardening the sides, where people felt they how they felt about the incident that had happened. And in fact, all of the principal said we have to agree to disagree, so they don't. The kumbaya moment was lost even at the White House.
Well, let's bring in Philip Martin into this discussion. Go right to the bar stools in Boston and find out what real people were saying about this summit. Reporter Philip Martin was right there at Ground Zero as the president was convening the beer summit last night. Philip, can you tell us a little bit about where you were? Set the stage for us.
Yeah, I was at Frank Doyle's. Good morning, everyone. First,
good morning.
Good morning.
I was at Frank Doyle's, which is a pretty becoming a well-known Boston Irish pub. I mean, we have more Irish pubs in Boston than we have Dunkin' Donuts. And this is the one where Sergeant Crowley basically received the phone call from President Obama last Friday. It's a cops bar, and I spoke to several of them there. They were excited to see their colleague on the air and meeting with the president, and they were particularly excited that, in one cop's words, that this thing is over.
Well, I love these voices. These are great.
Yeah, let's take a listen to some of the folks that you chatted with last night.
I think everybody's got a little responsibility in this, and you know, we learn from the mistakes and move on. Everybody sits and has a beer, and, you know.
Gotcha. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Blue Moon. What Sergeant Crowley is drinking?
Perhaps this was just the way that it needed to end, to try and dissipate, you know, the bad will, the bad feeling that had gone on with the whole, you know, black, white race. Perhaps this was just their way of saying, okay, let's go and have a beer, lads. Let's go talk. Let's have a yarn with each other.
That's so great.
That is great. Philip, when you were listening last night, did the president succeed in creating this teachable moment that he was talking about?
It depends. And by the way, I should have said Tommy Doyle's, not Frank Doyle's. My apologies.
Yeah, how long were you in the pubs last night, Philip?
Have another cup of coffee.
Too long. Clearly. It was teachable in the sense that he held this summit, and people were excited about it. They felt it was a culmination of what had been a bad week in one sense for the Cambridge Police Department. On the other hand, they felt that one cop genuinely called it a teachable moment and felt that people had actually learned. He's a 30-year veteran. He actually felt that people had learned something from this.
Think that they had learned from it? You know,
he felt that from what he was hearing on the streets. He wasn't just talking about, of course, the summit. But he was talking about what he was hearing from people he was interacting with every day in Cambridge. And he was hearing it from both sides.
And in Cambridge, and how many universities are there in Cambridge? I mean, they're all about teachable moments up in Cambridge. I mean, that's really not all they do up there. Callie Crossley, so, Crowley was drinking Blue Moon. Does Blue Moon beer become the beer of white, racially questionable cops, or does it become the beer of reconciliation?
I think beer becomes the drink of reconciliation at this moment, even though Sergeant Crowley himself said they need to move on to tea to really set a teachable moment. I think what happens here is that there were a lot of high hopes put on moving forward in this conversation, and that, of course, this is going to get a lot of attention because we have the first African-American president who has the credibility to be able to engage in this kind of conversation.
Great conversation this morning on The Takeaway. Callie Crossley, media critic for Beat the Press at our partner WGN. WGBH in Boston. And also up there in Boston, Philip Martin, radio reporter. Philip, thanks so much for going out and doing that research for us last night. I know it was tough on you.
Thank you. It was tough. Somebody had to do it.
Teachable moments in Cambridge, Massachusetts. They've been doing it for a long time, eh, Amy?
Yes, they've got that history.
Yeah, PhDs in Kumbaya down in Washington this morning.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.